Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And, Jim, I think folks should mark this day down. I'm about to say something nice about Ohio State University. Sorry, the Ohio State University. But in this current college atmosphere of administrators just rolling over and doing absolutely nothing when crazy student demands are issued, you got to give credit where credit is due. Over at Ohio State University, a bunch of protesters been occupying a building with all sorts of liberal/socialist grievances. At one point, the people who actually work in that building felt like their safety had been threatened. So Vice President Jay Casey goes over to talk to the students with a message from the president of the university, and he let them know about their fate if they don't clear out.
If you refuse to leave, then you will be charged with a student code of conduct violation. And I'm telling you this now because I want you to have good thought and careful consideration. If you're here at 5 a.m., we will clear the building and you will be arrested. And we will give you the opportunity to go to jail for your beliefs. Yes, sir.
What do you mean by clear the building?
Our police officers will physically pick you up and take you to a paddy wagon and take you to be arrested.
So there you go. In case you didn't hear the student's question, what does it mean to clear the building? he also said you're likely to get expelled if you don't clear out by 5 and you end up getting arrested. So, Jim, in the same week where DePaul University banned chalk, political statements written in chalk on the sidewalk because one kid wrote, "Make DePaul great again." This is a profile in courage here at Columbus.
Greg, one of the things that comes to mind here is, I love that. Wait, when you say clear the building, how else did he think they meant it? Unless he was picturing like a snowplow coming through the halls and kind of just pushing them along or something like that. Do you mean metaphorically clear the building? We're going to clear our minds? Here's the thing. America has this proud tradition of protest. But part of that proud tradition of protest was that you accepted the consequences of that protest. And if you, particularly if you go on to, that's why usually you're protesting in a public square, in a public street, a public place. You can get in trouble if you won't allow people, you're allowed to, for example, picket and march, but if you, don't let people get into a place, you can be arrested. This was a privately owned building by the university. You can go in and protest. And once they say, okay, you got to leave now, you have two choices. Either you can leave and continue your protest in some space you're allowed to continue, or you can refuse to do that, at which point they will, quote unquote, they'll clear the building. They will take you, you're trespassing, you're breaking the law, and you'll be arresting it. Now, if you really believe in the cause that you're fighting for, maybe you believe it's worth spending a night in jail. And most of the time, the punishments for criminal trespass and a protest are not terribly draconian. You're going to probably either spend, a period amount of time in jail, get a summons. Sometimes you'll get a fine. Sometimes you get something like that. But, lots of people have been protested and said, you know what? I believe so strongly in what I'm doing, I'm willing to be arrested for it. That's my demonstration of moral courage. I am just like Martin Luther King writing letters from a Birmingham jail. Usually they're not so noble and there's a little bit more self-aggrandizing going on, but fine. In this case, once these protesters realized, oh, wait a minute, we might pay a consequence for this, they back down. And here, these students here, they're perfectly fine for them to protest. You just can't disrupt other people's lives. Or if you are, you should be willing to pay the price for it. I think you kind of demonstrated that it's all fun and games until people start talking about clearing the building, Greg.
That's right. And I think you put your finger on the button there where they're used to having no consequences. They just get to go out there and do their thing. I remember back in high school, there was senior skip day. I think a lot of schools have that. I don't know if yours did. But for many, many years, you skip, but then you serve detention or whatever you did to serve the punishment for having an unexcused absence. As I got closer and closer to being a senior, the parents started calling in and saying their kid was sick, so there'd not even be any punishment with that. Mrs. Corumbus, I will point out, did not go along with that ruse. The point is here that these kids, I think, are used to having any sort of consequences erased. So I think that was an excellent, excellent point. On to the bad martini now, Jim. And as much grief as we give Donald Trump and his campaign, there's another person running for the Republican nomination who we've long said shouldn't be running anymore for the Republican presidential nomination. But for some reason, CNN decided to give 9 minutes to John Kasich on Sunday. Dan Abash doing the interview. They covered a lot of different Subjects, the last of which, or very close to the last of which, was the fact that Kasich has said publicly in recent days that he would not have signed the bathroom bill in North Carolina, and he was not a fan of the bathroom bill / religious freedoms bill down in Mississippi. So Dana Bash asked him what he thought about those issues in general, and here's what Kasich had to say.
There is a legitimate concern for people being able to have their deeply held religious beliefs, religious liberty. But there's also people who we shouldn't be discriminating against. We need to have a balance. We need to strike a balance. And I just wish that everybody would just take a breath and calm down, because you see, trying to figure out how to legislate that balance is complicated, and you keep doing do-overs because nobody gets it right. So if we would just kind of calm down here, I think things would settle down. And what I like to say is, just relax. If you don't like what somebody's doing, pray for them. And if you feel as though somebody is doing something wrong against you, can you just for a second get over it? You know, because this thing will settle down.
Jim, he never actually says what the balance is. But in the meantime, all of you worried about your First Amendment rights, just get over it.
That audio clip you just played was a perfect distillation of everything I cannot stand about John Kasich. It's dismissive. It's smug. It's like, look, I'm the only reasonable adult in the room. And, oh, these bickering children. Can't we get you kids to chill out for just 5 minutes? Can't you just stop yelling? I will turn this car around right now. It would be really nice if everyone could just chill out and not be bothered. But if you want people to use the bathroom for their appropriate gender, and you're really bothered by the thought of somebody saying, well, I'm wearing a skirt, so thus I am allowed to use the ladies' room. Whether or not you think this is a common situation, whether or not you think this is an uncommon situation, you know, right now, if you're a man, most of the time you can't use the ladies' room. And if they catch you using the ladies' room, they will yell at you or perhaps even, you know, press charges against you, depending on whether you're just running in there because you really need to pee or because whether you're trying to do something very much more inappropriate. John Kasich just kind of hand waves this away as everybody being so unreasonable. And the thing is that I think most of the people who are supporting North Carolina are reasonable. They thought it was reasonable that men use the men's room and ladies use the ladies' room. Were the Little Sisters of the Poor being unreasonable when they weren't covering the birth control for the nuns? I do not look out at America and see this area of terrible Christian aggression against these, you know, poor, oppressed gays and lesbians who are, what we see here, and the phrase you see over at Red State and other corners is the argument of you will be made to care. You probably don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about who uses what bathroom. This is always kind of self-evident to you. But you're going to be forced to care by people who say, no, if you don't want this person who claims to be transgender, who claims that despite the fact that they have male genitalia, they feel like they are a woman, thus they must be treated by a woman, by the law, by institutions, then you're forced to deal with it. I don't think any of these Christian groups want to have to deal with this stuff, but it's being forced upon them. And the fact that John Kasich can't see that or doesn't want to see that indicates that he's got this, I'm so reasonable, I just don't want to get involved with these sorts of things. Why can't these people work this out? Throwing up his shoulders and throwing up his hands in frustration tone that's just a complete and total misreading of the situation and doesn't speak particularly well of him as a leader.
The good news for John Kasich, though, considering he'll never be president, is that come 2019, I think, is when his governor's term ends, he's got a great future as a yoga instructor, because in that 50 seconds he said, calm down, relax, and breathe about 5 or 6 times. So the next career is right there on the horizon.
Hugging everyone in America to more extensive poses.
Oh, excellent, excellent distillation. All right, on to the crazy martini now. Jim, this is from CNN. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew is expected to announce this week that Alexander Hamilton's face will remain on the front of the $10 bill, and a woman will replace Andrew Jackson on the face of the $20 bill. Lew announced last summer that he was considering redesigning the $10 bill to include the portrait of a woman. The decision to make the historic change at the expense of Hamilton drew angry rebukes from fans of the former Treasury Secretary. The pro-Hamilton movement gained steam after the smash success of the hip-hop Broadway musical about his life this year. Those pressures led Lew to determine that Hamilton should remain on the front of the bill. Instead, a mural-like depiction of the women's suffrage movement, including images of leaders such as Susan B. Anthony, will be featured on the back of the bill. And listening to an interview that accompanied that story, Jack Lew is basically saying, we need to put a woman on the bill because it's been too long. He didn't have one in mind yet, but for some reason, we've got to do this right now, and it looks like Andrew Jackson's going to end up on the scrap heap of history.
We will stand for equality, particular individual identified to be named later. But that's how important it is. It's really important to salute our heroes or heroines, whoever. I'm going to make two observations. One, given a choice between taking off Hamilton or taking off Andrew Jackson, I'd much rather they take off the Democrat, Greg, so yes. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And the second thought is something I've never understood this, and I'm willing to bet when we talk about this in the program, Greg, at some point, some listener who knows this is going to, who really keeps track of these kinds of currency issues, will come in and explain this to us. Greg, if you have coins in your pocket, you have a penny, which is worth one, you have a nickel, which is worth five, you have a dime, which is worth 10, then you have a quarter, which is worth 25, and if really rarely, you'll have a 50-cent piece or a dollar coin, although nobody, you almost never see those. If you have bills in your pocket, you have a dollar bill, which matches up to the penny, you have the $5 bill, which matches up to the nickel, you have a $10 bill, which matches up to the dime. Then all of a sudden, it jumps to 20 instead of 25. And for some reason, instead of, you know, we have 25-cent coins, but we have $20 bills. And then, of course, occasionally you can find, yes, $50 bills, $100 bills. I don't know about you, Greg. It's been a long time since I've seen one of those. it's not all about the Benjamins here at National Review. Anyway, so I always kind of don't, why do we have, you know, 25-cent coins and $20 bills? And if we were going to do anything, like, wouldn't it make sense to have a $25 bill? Or for that matter, a 20-cent coin, although I think most people would say we don't really need it. You know, we don't make enough purchases with coins to make a 20-cent coin worthwhile. So if it's up to me, and no one has asked me, Greg, I would create a $25 bill. And then you can pick Sacagawea or pick whoever, Harriet Tubman, whoever you think is the most appropriate figure to represent, to be, you know, historical figure to be honored on a piece of currency. And that way, nobody has to come off. Nobody has to argue about the legacy of Andrew Jackson. Nobody, you know. I do find this a very big, useful, teachable moment, Greg.
Yes.
For those of us who don't like political correctness, for those of us who don't like this effort to rewrite history or to eliminate dead white males from the history curriculum and classics and things like that, Greg, all we need to do is create a hip-hop opera about any of these figures, and then it'll be this great cultural sensation. We'll be like, no, you can't get rid of that figure. So I'm looking forward to, like, Patton the opera. Now, the only thing I've seen of Hamilton was the performance at the Grammys. I thought it looked pretty darn good. Greg, I don't know about you. Every critic and everybody I know who's seen it comes out of it screaming like an Elvis fan circa 1957. I mean, they just are. It is the apex of, never mind theater, of human experience. It's wonderful. So congratulate to all of them. And if they saved Hamilton on the $10 bill, bravo, performers of Hamilton. My hat is off to you. Well done. You have overcome the typical politically correct charge. Ideally, people are learning a little bit more about their history because of it.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. I don't know how accurate it is because I haven't seen it, but hopefully it is. And if Broadway success is the key to getting on currency or staying on currency, maybe we could get Bialystok and Bloom. We could get Jean Valjean on some currency going forward, although he wasn't
there
American.
Yeah.
But all sorts of options.
The one defense I will make of the musical, Greg, is that people say this is exactly the way Andrew Hamilton rapped at that time.
Well, how was Aaron Burr, though? Was he bad or good?
He's in there. He's one of the bad guys. So.
I'm sure he is in there. It's kind of hard to end the story without him. But anyway, we've got off track here.
Happy Monday, everyone.
It is a happy Monday. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.